Lord, may what we hear with our ears burn in our hearts and be set forth in our lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, today, in the Anglican lectionary, we're called to remember a martyr. He was martyred in 1896, and his name is Bernard Mizecki, and he was an apostle to the Mashona people in southern Africa. Now, who he, you might say? Bernard Mizecki was born in Portuguese East Africa in 1861, which we now know as Mozambique. He was raised in a traditional African fashion. As a boy, he worked in a store run by a Portuguese trader, and he learned some Portuguese. Now, he must have been a very quick learner, because he was still under 10 years old at that stage. Between the ages of 10 and 15, he moved with a cousin to Cape Town in Cape Colony, which we now know, of course, as South Africa. He undertook various labouring jobs and he became a house servant. For whatever reason, he left the security of that house when he was a little older and continued to work as a labourer whilst living in the shantytown slums of Cape Town. In the shantytown, he experienced at first hand the effect of drunkenness on many workers and the disastrous consequences on those sad men. So he firmly refused to drink alcohol, and he stayed largely uncorrupted by the circumstances in which he lived. After a long day labouring, he started to attend night classes at an Anglican school, whose teachers were from the Society of St. John the Evangelist. And this was a religious order for men, popularly called the Cowley Fathers. So beside the fundamentals of schooling, he mastered English, French, Dutch, and 8 local languages. He must have been brilliant, mustn't he? Through the work of the mission, he converted to Christianity and together with 5 others became some of the first Christian converts in that land and were baptized at St. Philip's Mission on the 7th of May in 1886. Shortly afterwards, Bernard started to work at St. Columba's Hostel, a mission for African men. Within only a few short months, they were so impressed with him, he was sent to Zonnebloem College. Zonnebloem means place of sunflowers. Isn't that nice? The place of sunflowers. And the motto of the college was, "Walk as the children of light." Here he was trained as a catechist, which is a sort of Christian religious teacher. And in 1891, Bernard was called to accompany the new bishop of Mashonaland, great name, listen to this, Bishop George Wyndham Knight Bruce, to accompany him as a lay catechist and a medical worker among the Shona people in southern Rhodesia. And of course, we call that now Zimbabwe. He was sent to work among the Nahowe people, and Bernard built his home there in the kraal of the Mangwende, or the chieftain to you and I. He quickly gained a reputation as a teacher, and he took children into his home who were willing to learn. He also taught them the gospel, and using his language skills, would travel to the bishop's residence in Umtali to help with translations from English text into the local dialects and languages. In 1896, Bernard married Mutwa, and she was later called Lily. All these names changed, don't they, over the years? Who was an orphan granddaughter of the chieftain, and she had also been a Christian convert. Bernard was therefore by marriage admitted into the household of the chieftain, which some of the clan bitterly resented. With the chieftain's permission, Bernard moved his growing community, which included several families and many young boys that he'd been entrusted to teach. He moved them about 2 miles away over the river to resettle in a fertile area that had a spring. However, this new settlement was also near an African sacred grove, which was believed to be the home of the tribe's ancestral spirits. Bernard absolutely refused to make an offering to those spirits and would rather carve the sign of the cross on several trees in the grove and cut down those trees that had sort of tribal symbols on them for the dead. In that same year, the Matabeleland rebellion spread into the Shona country. South Africa was experiencing drought and plagues of locusts, and resentment of the British and their mandatory takes and their mandatory taxes and their inoculations. It simmered, and then they ordered the slaughter of diseased cattle, which they were furious about. So missionary workers were ordered to safety, but Bernard simply refused to leave the kraal. On the night of the 18th of June, Bernard was dragged from his home and stabbed. His wife found him still alive and she ran for help. She and others recorded seeing a great white light all over the sky and a loud noise which sounded like the beating of many birds' wings. When they returned to where she found Bernard, he was nowhere to be seen and was never found again. A son of the chieftain and an ally of the witch doctors was found guilty of Bernard's murder. Of course, he was an uncle of his wife as well. His wife was pregnant with their first and only child, and who was born posthumously. Bernard's legacy to the African people was enormous. One of the Shona boys that he had taught continued his work throughout the land, and with the translations, the word spread quickly. Today, on the day of his death, Anglican churches around the world, would you believe, mark this day to venerate an exceptional young man who helped convert the gospel into those African dialects and languages, and so spread the word of God in that dark continent. Now, I confess I've never heard of him. Has anybody else here ever heard of him? Never heard of him. His name was lost to us here in the UK, but I really do believe that we should remember him today, his short life and his lasting legacy, for he was a man who prayed and did his good works, largely unsung, like it said in Matthew's Gospel. So I pray that God has continued to bless him in heaven ever since. Amen.